Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome aboard, folks. I am your host, Teron Davenport, here with another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. This is a morning Monday, and when I say morning, it's M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, not the time of the day. The Eagles lost a close game to the Dallas Cowboys last night, a tough game. So what we're going to do is just dive into some of the things that I saw that really contributed towards the loss. And what more can you say? I mean, it was a tough game. You know, this is a game where they had two 10-point leads. They should, without a doubt, have been able to finish that game. And I think that was really the major issue. This team is struggling to finish. And when you have a fourth-quarter lead, you have to be able to, you know, not turn the football over. And you have to be able to stop the opposing offense. Unfortunately for the Eagles, they did neither. So, kicking things right off from the top. What I have to look at in this case is the fumble. Okay, Wendell Smallwood, he's a rookie. He's a guy that I think is a very consistent running back when given the opportunity. I liked him coming out of West Virginia. I just don't understand why you give him his first carry in the fourth quarter. And unfortunately, one of the guys up front got beat. The Cowboys defensive tackle was able to knife his way in there and punch the ball out with his left hand. And Cowboys got the ball. And I tell you what, man, AT&T Stadium was very quiet. And it erupted when that happened. Those type of plays, that momentum, I mean, we talked about it last week. And it's something that we'll talk about consistently. Momentum is so important in a football game. The Eagles had their foot on the Cowboys' neck at that point. But that fumble, in effect, took the foot off. Can't have those kind of turnovers. Cannot do it. And that's actually what has cost them a few of these games. You look at, and I'm not going to say it cost them, because there were a lot of things that contributed towards the loss last night and that contributed towards some of the other losses that they had. But that fumble was a key play. Cannot turn the football over at that point in time. I can't emphasize that enough. They had a 10-point lead. The Cowboys got the ball in field goal range. They were able to, I believe they got one first down. Then the defense stopped them, and they kicked the field goal. And next thing you know, they're down a touchdown. And, you know, the Eagles couldn't convert, you know, on their next possession. The Cowboys were able to drive the football 90 yards for the game-tying touchdown to force the game to overtime. You cannot allow a team to drive 90 yards in the fourth quarter to score the game-tying touchdown. You can't do it. These are the things that you cannot have. Everybody's going to focus on the drops, and yes, you know what? They needed to catch the football. Green Beckham needed to catch the football. Jordan Matthews needed to catch the football. Nelson Aguilar needed to catch the football. But the thing that just amazes me is that so many people, even reporters, are focusing on this and not the bigger things within the game that had more of a contribution towards the end result. Do not be misled, people. The drops should not have happened. The drops hurt. The fumble, the 90-yard drive hurt more. Make no mistake about it. And then you look in overtime. The guys up front, you know, they're trying to get to Dak Prescott. They couldn't bring him down. He was able to extend plays, get out of the pocket. His pocket awareness everybody is focusing on Carson Wentz. And hey, look, Carson Wentz, you know, 32 completions, 202 yards, 9 touchdowns on the year. Now he broke Donovan McNabb's record. He 32 completions was, I believe, a rookie record also. So make no mistake about it. Wentz is playing well. There are some things that I would like to see more of from him, and that's something we'll address on a different show. But Dak Prescott, in his own right, is playing outstanding football. 287 yards passing. He did throw an interception. Yes, he should have. There should have been 2 other interceptions. There should have been a Wentz interception, too. That's just the ball bounces your way sometimes. That's how this game works. Some of these guys are going to tell you, Dak Prescott played like trash. He's no good, this, that. For a portion of the game, he did not play well. But me personally, when I'm picking a quarterback, I want a guy, when the stuff hits the fan, he's going to come through for me. That last play where he was able to make that baseball turn and reverse pivot out of that pressure, And had the awareness to find Jason Witten in the back of the end. Man, that's not a play you see from a rookie. I think it's time we give Dak Prescott his credit as a guy who's just as outstanding as any other rookie in this league. He needs to be given his credit, his due. That was a great play. His ability to extend that play is actually what won that game. It made that play work. Those are the type of plays that, you know, really show the resilience of a quarterback, and he showed that. Defensively, I talked to Leotis McKelvin afterwards, and you know, he made a good point. You know, that's what they do in the red zone. They like to let Dak Prescott scramble and make a play. There's times where he'll just throw it up to Dez Bryant, which that's what they did on the 22-yard touchdown. That's what they do. But then you also have Ezekiel Elliott. But McKelvin made a good point, though. He said what you have to do in that case, you have to plaster yourself to your man. And Jordan Hicks, he had commented about it afterwards also. He wasn't sure what happened. He just knows that, you know, he looked up and Witten was by himself in the back of the end zone. I couldn't believe that, man. That was a crazy play. I thought that they were going to be able to bring him down, but, you know, it didn't happen. And then you also had the 4th-and-1, okay? Jason Garrett called the timeout. He said, you know what, we're going to go for it. They went for it, and Prescott was able to pick up the first down on a 4th-and-1, a 2-yard gain. Those plays like that are so crucial to an offense. So crucial. And defensively, you know, you have to be able to stand up and stop that type of a gain, especially in that case, because had they stopped that, then they get the ball back. They could work their way down the field, kick a field goal, and win the football game. But instead, the Cowboys got the first down. I know. It was almost intercepted by Leotis McKelvin when Prescott threw the ball on the out, but he came right back with that play where he broke the contain in the pocket and he found Witten. I mean, there's not really much more you could say for Dak Prescott. I think it's time to give him his props. Defensively, you know, this is a team that when they have opportunities, they have to cash in. You know, McKelvin had a very good interception, you know, but he has to cash in on the other two. And I know it's hard in the corner of the end zone. He was interfered with when he was able to get in position against Terrence Williams. But the one where Prescott threw it low and outside, McKelvin needed to come up with that. You know, those are the types of plays that can really swing the momentum of the game. And unfortunately for the Eagles, they were not able to pull that one out. I, again, will go back to the two things, the 90-yard drive and the fumble. I think those were the two things. And how could you forget the fake punt? Because that was another momentum change. Man, that crowd erupted when that punter was able to get outside there. That little rascal was pretty quick, too. He was rolling down the sideline for 30 yards. And it's funny because I wasn't sure in watching that play. And I went back and watched it a few more times. I wasn't sure if that was actually a called fake or if it was an option for him where if you had that interior pressure and you saw you had the outside, take it. I wasn't sure what it was, like if he had the green light to go ahead and run with it. But whatever happened, unfortunately for the Eagles, they couldn't get that contained. They couldn't, you know, keep him from being able to break outside. Jalen Mills on that one. Man, it was a tough call. A tough play for them. But that 30-yard run really reinvigorated that team, man. And that's what you saw. You know, they were able to run the ball for 30 yards there. And I believe that drive, they got a field goal. And then Ezekiel Elliott, they just started to feed Ezekiel Elliott. Now, I will say, as a unit, as a defense, they did an excellent job of keeping Elliott under 100 yards. But again, when you look at the box score, you know, things look a lot better, or they could look a lot worse. But in this case, they looked a lot better than what it really was, because when it was time to run the football, they were able to do that with Ezekiel Elliott. Fourth quarter, you have to stop them from running the football. You cannot allow them to wear down, and that's what you saw happen. You know, that last drive, that game time drive, they were able to go to Ezekiel Elliott numerous times, and I believe it was one that he had a 9-yard run in the first three downs there to kind of get them out of being pinned deep in their own territory. And they just found ways to get him the ball. And he's someone that they have to get better with. They have to be able to keep him from getting those yards after contact. I think it was 80 or so of his 96 yards came after contact, which is unacceptable. Rodney McLeod did an outstanding job coming up and tackling him on a couple plays. But those are some of the things that have to happen in order to win a football game. And like I said, those three things, they're the major issues. Yes, 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 yes. The drops, you know what? That drop that Aguilar had on the slant, you know, he'll admit you have to catch that. The corner route that Jordan Matthews ran and he dropped, he'll admit he has to catch that. I think the Trey Burton one, too, you know. And this is the other thing. You guys have to be careful about being misled by some of these guys that don't really know the game. And I know, I forget which reporter it was, but they said that it was foolish to go to Trey Burton against Brandon Carr. Well, let me tell you something. This game is about matchups, and it's not all about speed. Speed doesn't rule in this game. In that case, where you're running that curl route, which is what Trey Burton ran, he has a big body. He was able to box out Brandon Carr for being able to get to the ball. The problem was this. He didn't extend his arms and catch the ball with his hands. He tried to body catch it. It hit him right between the 4 and the 7 and fell incomplete. That was a good play call by Doug Peterson. It was a good read by Carson Wentz. It was a good route by Trey Burton. But he didn't do something that this Eagles team has struggled to do, and that's finish. In this case, he didn't finish the play. That's what happened. If you could get an athletic tight end that has a bigger body out there on the smaller corner, that's an advantage. People, do not be misled by these guys that do not know the game. That's an advantage for him. Oh, he doesn't have the speed to run by. It's not about that. It's about positioning on that particular route. Now, if he was just running a go route, okay, I could understand that. But he was running a curl. Some of these guys get it. Some of them don't. I'll let you guys make the call on who does and who doesn't. But I think you need to really take a look at some of the stuff that you're reading from these guys, because there are some of these guys that just don't get it. And I don't mean to call people out, you know, but I just can't stand the arrogant ignorance that, you know, exists. And somebody has to make a stand against that. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. I appreciate you guys for tuning in, hearing me talk about this game. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more shop. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL, TheEaglesWire.USAToday.com, and follow this podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. That's the Locked On Eagles podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. Enjoy the game tonight, folks. You get to see Sammy Sleeves, the former Eagles quarterback. And just put this one behind you. There's another week of football. Got the Giants coming up on Sunday, another divisional game. The season's not over, folks. Keep hope alive. We'll be back tomorrow.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.